Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Hope you are enjoying the new year so far. The deep state now has full control of the federal government, and the mindless basement dweller sits in the White House signing away one executive order after the next, reversing everything President Trump did to improve the economy of our country and the American worker. Rest assured that this radical Democratic Party is watching out for their self-interest as they have lied and cheated their way into office. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, describes this leftist political crowd succinctly as he states to Timothy, chapter 4 of his first letter, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." John the Revelator, in chapter 8 of his gospel, tells us what Jesus said to the lying Jews who attempted to kill him. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Satan is the father of lies. These lying Democrats who justify murdering innocent children in the womb are of their father, the devil. The Revelator tells us in his book, The Revelation, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No disputing that. So all you ungodly believers who applaud this wickedness, your day of trial is coming, and fiery judgment shall be upon you unless you repent now before it is eternally too late. The Apostle Paul, who was filled with the Holy Ghost and cautiously led by the Spirit, gives us more insight into who this wicked crowd is. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. All I can say to you who love wickedness and the systemic destruction of our constitutional Christian republic is repent, repent, and repent. Turn from your wicked ways and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Kiss the Son of God, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him and in his word, the Holy Bible. The following message this morning is entitled, Jesus Walked on Water. Should Peter have? Jesus walking on water is mentioned in three of the Gospels, but Peter's noticeably short walk on the water is mentioned in only one Gospel. Why is that? And let me point out to you who have heard from the pulpit that the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not the Gospel for the churches today, but only Paul's epistles are the Gospel for the Gentile churches. You have been gravely deceived. Don't believe it for one minute. So what is the embedded message of Peter getting out of the boat in the story found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 34? There may be a lot of Sunday morning sermons praising Peter for having the faith to get out of the boat, but Jesus did not praise Peter. He said, O thou of little faith! Why didn't the other Gospel authors point this out about Peter getting out of the boat? The message you are about to hear will be very new to your ears. I was a young preacher boy at a preacher's conference in Ohio when I first heard a preacher preach this message in this context. Never have I heard it preached this way again. Listen, learn, and be intrigued with the Lord's lesson in this event of 2,000 years ago. And again, let's get inoculated this new year, 2021, with the power of the Holy Ghost, and let us be led according to his instruction, not the world's. Don't be a guinea pig for Bill Gates, Tony Fauci, and Big Pharma. And let's throw in the CDC and the World Health Organization for good measure. Jesus walked on water, should Peter have? Part 4.
And so the sea has a symbol in Scripture, and we have that in Revelation at the end of the Roman numeral 1, we have that from the book of Revelation, we see that sometimes the sea is a picture of the mass of humanity. The mass of humanity. We get that, we say this, like when I was there at the rally, it was a sea of people. As far as I can see, it was a sea of people. We use that expression to this very day, and we get that from the Scriptures. You know, a lot of our expressions come from the Bible. There are multitudes of expressions. The apple of your eye, the apple of your eye, that comes from the scriptures. By the skin of your teeth, that comes from the scriptures. And many, many others found in the Word of God, those expressions come from the Holy Bible. So, we're in Roman numeral 3, picking up from last week. Jesus constrained his disciples to depart. What does constrained mean? It means urge irresistibly or powerfully, compel, or you could say commanded them, told them to go into the ship. It was sundown, it was near dusk, and it was time to get into the ship and head back to the other side. But Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. We have that one of the reasons Jesus commanded his disciples to get into the ship is because Jesus hastened his disciples' departure and his because the multitude want to make him a king. Now we know he's King Jesus. We know that the Magi, the wise men, came looking for the king of the Jews, but they wanted to make him a king. Why? Because they wanted free food. They wanted more of that free food from two fishes and five loaves. That's why that was, hey, this is a great welfare program. This is better than food stamps. But they wanted to make him king, the Bible says here, and it says in the passage here, it says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And Jesus, I mean, you just study Jesus' prayer life. Oh my goodness. First of all, 40 days? Anybody want to volunteer? Anybody ready to volunteer for 40 days of prayer and fast? Brother Andy, did I see your hand? No, I didn't see your hand. I'm sorry, brother. And not only he did without water. When I fast, I always have water or drinks. I drink something. I couldn't do that. But he prayed and fasted, and that meant food and water. That's amazing. 40 days. 40 days. Obeying the commandments of the Lord is a wise decision, and it illustrates one's love for the Lord. Obeying the commandments of the Lord is a wise decision, and it illustrates one's love for the Lord. The Bible says here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, you're at the right at the end of page 3, starting page 4. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Let's go back. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, key phrase there, you should underline it, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, I am a connoisseur of lighthouses. I love lighthouses pictures. I love to see pictures of lighthouses, and some have just recently popped up on my my computer. You know, when you open up and you put your password in to open your computer, they have beautiful lighthouses on there. And there's beautiful lighthouses all over the world. All over the world, just one. And where are they mostly constructed? On rock, right? On a rock. And some, there's a lighthouse that is on what they call the Fastnet Rock off of England, Ireland, out at sea, sitting upon, I think that's the rock, I could be wrong, but it sits on this rock in that northern Atlantic. And they have pictures of that lighthouse with huge waves splashing up against that rock and that lighthouse, and just wrapping around that lighthouse, and it has stayed there for decades and decades and decades and decades. But lighthouses that are on sand, they don't fare so well. In Cape Hatteras, they had a lighthouse that over the years ended up, it was on the beach, and Cape Hatteras is all sand. Sand is very shifty. And they had a famous lighthouse at the tip of Cape Hatteras, but the sand washed away, and the lighthouse was right next to the ocean. And it was inland, several hundreds of feet inland, but over time, and there was a big project of moving this lighthouse in further. There was a lighthouse in New Jersey that I was very familiar with, taking a boat from Sandy Hook, the most northern beach or shoreline of New Jersey, beach shoreline, and you go to the Tappan Zee Bridge and you would pass this lighthouse. It sat on a sandy shoal. Guess what happened in the storm, the hurricane that came up there called Sandy? Sandy took that sandy lighthouse right out. It washed it away. It disintegrated because it was on sand. But those lighthouses that sit on a rock, they endure the storms and the surges and the hurricanes and the nor'easters and the violence that the ocean can throw at it. They're more secure. And like I said last week, New York City had the highest buildings at one time in all the world. Why? It's a big granite rock. And they were able to anchor those buildings to that rock in order to go straight up. The technology to build the largest skyscraper in the world today in Dubai on sand is, how did they do that? Did they just position it on the sand? No, they had to drive pillars hundreds of feet down in order to secure the tallest high-rise in the world today. But that technology is only relatively new. But the Empire State Building, one of the early massive skyscrapers, was because of the rocky soil. So, again, it's worthy of us to understand that we need to obey Jesus. God said, keep my commandments 22 times in the scriptures. And we're dealing with that word, he constrained them, okay? He constrained the disciples to get into the boat. It's a commandment. So God said, keep my commandments 22 times in the scriptures. Two major accounts in God's word that men were directed not to leave the ship. First, the first story, so there's two stories, two accounts, two main major accounts in the scriptures. And there is, as I said when I was dealing with the Star of Bethlehem, the Bible speaks a lot on astronomy in the Bible. The Bible speaks a lot on maritime, the boats and shipping and fishing. You find that quite often also in the scriptures. But two major accounts in God's word that men were directed not to leave the ship. The first, the most important one, God shut Noah in the ark for over a year because of the universal flood and until the land was dry. The scriptures say here, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his son with them into the ark, plus all the animals that were in there. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. God closed that door. It says there, God shut him in. God closed that door. He sealed the door and put Noah in there. That's significant. What happened to everybody outside the ark? Animals included, died. Vegetation included, died. Everything died. Anybody coming out of that ark at any time until God showed Noah that there was dry land would have died and perished. Because even after the 40 days of rain, what do you think that's... And then it took many days for the water to drain off the land. But what do you think that surface of that land was like? Muddy. I mean, you would have sank up to the top of your head if you got off the ship. You know, when the astronauts supposedly went to the moon, one of the big fears was, well, is there going to be all this space dust on the surface of the moon? And when the landing capsule comes down and lands, will it sink into this hundred? You know, they didn't thought, well, maybe it'll be hundreds of feet of moon dust up there, dust on the moon. It was one of their big concerns. And you go look at any picture of the spacecraft that's sitting on the moon, find the crater that was created by the jet as that spacecraft landed on the moon. Oh, Greg, don't get into conspiracies. The second incident is the ship the Apostle Paul was aboard. So we have the first incident. Noah was not able to get off that ship until God made the dry land, until the land was dry. Second incident is the ship the Apostle Paul was aboard when he was a prisoner heading to Rome to stand trial. He hit a major storm at sea. This is the Mediterranean Sea. He was going from Cyprus, I believe Cyprus it was. And actually, he came from Jerusalem and sailed all the way across to Rome. They were going to take him before Caesar. And it's shipwrecked. And possibly off the island of Malta, it doesn't tell us in the scriptures, in the Mediterranean Sea. And Bible says here, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of man's life. Paul is speaking here. There shall be no loss of man's life among you. He's speaking to the captain and to the Roman soldiers that were on the ship guarding. There were other prisoners on the ship. But of the ship, so the ship is going to be destroyed, but no man's life is to. It says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. Okay, he's saying, I am a disciple of God. And the angel of God spoke to me that night, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, there was a mutiny taking place here, because they were laying anchors. They use small boats like lifeboats or dinghies to take the anchors out, because they knew they were coming to shallower waters and that land may have been before them, but they didn't want to wreck on rocks before the island. And so the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boats, the dinghies, the lifeboats, and let her fall off. And everybody was spared. The boat broke up, near shore, but all the men were able to ride the wreckage into shore, and everybody's life was spared. But God told Paul, you tell them, don't let somebody leave early. You're all going to survive, and you're going to all survive together. And so you have these two stories. So the ark and the ship are the life raft to bring the weary safely to the opposite shore. What's the expression? We say, don't bail ship, right? Don't jump ship. We use that expression. It's good to stay with the ship until it absolutely sinks, because it can be a life source of life, because it's a lot easier to find a ship out at sea that's stranded than to find you bobbing in the water with a life jacket or not a life jacket. Much easier to find you with the boat. So it says stay with the ship until the very last second. But the ark and the ship are the life raft to bring the weary safely to the opposite shore. It pictures the church. Here it is. It pictures the church, the body of Christ. Okay? Colossians tells us that the church is the body of Christ as a life raft for believers to take them safely to the other shore, though the seas may be rough. Let us consider, the scriptures tell us here, you're at the end of page 4, beginning of page 5, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see that day approaching. He's telling us, as you see the day approaching for the return of Christ, it's going to get stormy. Is it getting stormy? Have we had a whole year of storminess? Is there a lot of storminess this week, possibly? Greg's shaking his head, saying yes. Maybe you need to find some barrels of pickles. Get your food stocked up. You can still use that toilet paper you bought last summer. You know, I'm sure you bought 2 years worth. But the storm, stay with the boat. There's so much more in here. Top of page 5, the church is not some flim-flam institution of man's imagination, but it is ordained of God for his service. And it is our necessary obedience to institute it among men according to the Lord's dictates and honor it with the utmost reverence and respect. It is a place to worship the Lord as the disciples did in the boat when Jesus walked on water. And so, again, the first time they said, what manner of man is this that can calm the seas? The second time they worshiped and said, thou art the Son of God. They realized, you know, the second time, this is God. This is God.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.